If you know Jarek's work, the chances are that what you've seen is some of his architectural schemes. He's an artist who moves between architecture, design, and art. And this exhibition is really focused on his practice as an artist. And I think it has a particular kind of mood or atmosphere that perhaps is a little bit different to his better-known architectural works. So I've just picked one, but I'm just going to show you on my computer, which is slightly embarrassing. So this is a piece called The Transfer, where Jarek, in 2006, represented Poland in the Venice Biennale. And when he made this work, he was thinking really about how to revitalize a city in such a way that communication in the city would be better, that the city would be tuned up to its ecological potential. And there are many projects of this kind of quality for which Jarek has a great reputation, both in Poland but internationally. And I think in a way this work is the best known of his work because of things like the Venice Biennale. But what's been a pleasure about this exhibition is it's given me, in a small way, as a curator with Jarek, but Jarek himself, a chance to reflect on some underlying themes, some conceptual themes, which run throughout his work. So my plan for the next half an hour or so is to try and help you understand that and draw that out. What we're going to see is quite a lot of new work, but it's very important that you'll also see some works that go back 20, 25 years. Later we will spend a little bit of time with a sculptural work which is on the wall there that goes back to the 1990s. I'm saying this because there's a kind of consistency in Jarek's work, which is really remarkable. And I think it has a kind of new vitality here. Maybe if you do know his work, I've suggested there's a kind of positive, euphoric view in these works I showed you a moment ago. At the end, I would be really interested in you telling me what you think the mood of these works is. Personally, I detect a kind of change of mood in these works. But let's see what you think as well. So I'm going to give you a small task. Is that okay? So here we are. This area here is a little bit like a key for understanding everything that we are going to see. And it's to do with a set of ideas about the relationship of this thing, a human body, to the environments that we might be in. The environment might be this, right? This space which is full of air, light, and sound. Environment might be something like a kind of sense of our habitat. Or maybe environment might even be something like the planet or our place in the universe. All of these dimensions are at work in this exhibition. Jarek, of course, is not the first person to think about the relationship of the body to its environment or to space. And we put some works here, representations of a particular preoccupation that architects have had since ancient times, which is the proportional relationship between the body and architecture. So famously, Corbusier invented a proportional system which he called the modular, which measures what he saw as a typical human body and says from the correct proportions of the body we can extrapolate architecture. And if we get the proportions right, we will have better architecture. We will have a harmonic relationship between us and buildings. So for a figure like Corbusier, this is a system that might generate harmony, a harmonic relationship to between the body and space. It's a measuring system. Now, in Jarek's work, we can find echoes of this, but also differences. So if you just come in a little bit closer, you'll see quite an early drawing from 2002, which is also based on a measuring system of the body. But this isn't to do with the external measurements, say, between my navel and my knee. This is to do with the apertures of the body. So the eyes, the nasal passages, maybe the breasts, maybe all of the openings in the body produce a system which sets relationships between parts of the body together. And this is one of two modules that Jarek uses in his work. So we'll just go across to here and you will see. But this modular system enables us to think about human bodies in a particular way. Again, using the apertures, the openings in the human body, we can come to understand that we can see a figure of a Madonna or a Madonna and a child by imagining these proportions running through the body. Now, I think it's very interesting to think about the eye as an aperture, as an opening to the body, because it can project outwards, but it also can project inwards. An opening has at least two dimensions. I think Corbusier's idea, you can just go a little bit alone, is largely based on a kind of external proportionate system. But we have others, and this is a really lovely, lovely drawing by Robert Flood, who was a kind of alchemist and a scientist in Britain at the very, very beginning, even before the Enlightenment. So imagine a proportionate system which takes the apertures of the body but connects it to the cosmos, even connects it to God. This is an idea of the interconnection of the microcosm and the macrocosm, that somehow there is a universe inside me, but I am also part of the universe, right? So this is two different scales, a macrocosmic and a microcosmic scale. So that's the first system, right? So, okay, you've got the apertures of the body, and we will see some works in a moment as we go round. Jarek has been using this system since the 1990s. But now we're going to go and see some more new work, and we're going to start by thinking about another system. So you're going to have a sense of two proportional systems. So if you follow me. So what are we looking at? What do we have in front of us? Well, again, we're going to look at this drawing, and then we'll come back and think about this. This is another proportional system based on the face, on the relationship, again, of the apertures or the openings in the face, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the ears. And this generates a kind of set of proportions, a kind of structure that allows for different faces to be combined. So what we see here is perhaps four faces, which we might imagine maybe four people together in some kind of communion, face to face, right? Very symbolic gesture to be face to face. Or maybe this is more like something cinematic, where we have still, 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 the movement of the face through space, right? And this allows for that proportionate system. Here we see the two, this little point here, the two openings of the nose meeting the opening of the mouth, so a small triangle here. And that triangle will reappear in the relationship of nose to mouth throughout this drawing. So now turn around here. Maybe in that small triangle formed here, we see nose to mouth. maybe we can do some imaginative reconstruction, and we can see this as that still. Or maybe we see it as the communion of four faces together. So we're going to encounter this proportional system that Jarek has been using more recently as we go around the show. But of course this isn't simply proportions. This is not simply a kind of Corbusian system for good architecture. This is not a kind of model for imagining how we might live better, which was Corbusier's preoccupation. I think we might imagine this in more existential terms. We might imagine this as being a question about how to live. And this piece is called Habitat. So if this is your habitat, what is it? Where is it? What has happened to it? And then if we start to think a little bit more about the relationship of parts here, we have the floor, right? This beautiful floor, which has been acquired from a building that had a history, a building that presumably was destroyed, and now has been given some kind of new life here. So we have this floor, this space below, and then we have this white panel here. In our typical orientation, we know that above and below should be orderly and tidy. But what has happened to this space that has turned the floors up, that has tilted them, that has made the ceiling come down and become something like a side panel? What is the event that has generated this? And what is it if we know that this is actually a series of faces? And not just the appearance of faces, but these openings into the mind. Now, I don't want to give you a kind of narrow, reduced reading of this, but maybe we start to think about something like a psychological state, maybe, right? Maybe we think about the Wizard of Oz. Have you seen the film? At the beginning, when Dorothy has to leave Kansas, her house is thrown up in a cyclone, right? And she ends up in the Wizard of Oz. Is this some sort of disaster that has happened to this house? I don't want to give you a kind of fixed reading, but suddenly I think its potentials are very wide. And its potentials are this, right? Which is for us to enter into this space and to try and do some work orientating ourselves within it. So I'd like to kind of invite you to follow me this way, but then to come back and to orientate yourself in this space. It's kind of tricky, right, to walk on there. You feel your body tilted. So this is also an amazing object. It's an amazing object because it changes in every instant, every moment. Sometimes your orientations are more white, sometimes they're more timber. And, you know, I think that's kind of very interesting that if you start to think about that as ceiling, as the space above, why is the ceiling below us? I'd like to just also say a little bit about what it means to make this object. This object has been made specifically for this exhibition. This object involved a team of craftsmen welding all of these joints in situ, laying this floor, so the craftsmen who made this had to kind of clamber and fix these floors in. And this object took 2 to 3 weeks to make. It's an amazing object. And what do you think its future is going to be? It has to be dismantled in the gallery, right? So probably this is it. This is your chance to see this object. May not have another some great galleries come in and be making. This is not going to happen. These galleries are great, we know Jarek very well, so somebody might. That would be fantastic, right? Wouldn't it be so sad if this is this bit?
Yeah.
It's amazing. I think also
working with the volume of this space. This is a magnificent space for a gallery. And here is an object that really commands this space beautifully. So this is one. It's one amazing object. If you go in here, we see the potential of this language to become many different.
I'm going to go there and talk across the way.
So if you look carefully, if you start to tune your eyes to this, you'll start to see the same proportional system operating. So this limitation of a system based on the face has the potential for enormous expansion in all of these different forms. I think sometimes the idea will give us a kind of intimation of maybe what these words might be. So if you see the titles there, this is described as a bridge, a daily bridge. We might imagine this as being a bridge across a natural feature, obviously the river. Maybe it's also something like a metaphorical bridge, because we know that it's based on these meetings of faces all the way across. So what does it mean to have a bridge which is about these human encounters? This is my interpretation. And when I look at these, I find them a little bit uncanny. A little bit strange. A little bit alive. They come to seem like some strange kind of category of insects or something like this. But of course when we turn, we look through there. We also know that they have this tremendous capacity to be this size, maybe this size, maybe so small that we could barely see them. And that's one of the features of Yarik's work, which is the possibility of intimate expansion, extreme expansion, or very intimate reduction. There's a sense in which these be massive, these things are tiny. I think that uncanny quality is playing out here, right? Something looking down at us, something watching us. And again, I would like to just also point out some of the technical qualities of this. This is a hand-welded object that Yarik works with across Montenegro. With this lovely, very simple, smooth-out, burnish surface. So I think it's a really beautiful and amazing object, which requires very technical command to be able to make that. And then can be translated into things like paint in various ways. And in the moment we're going to see sort of the kind of original models that Yarik himself generates to make these works. So I want you to bear these works in mind when we go to another space in a moment. Am I right? Do these feel a little uncanny or strange? We should discuss it. So we're just going to cut through now. This is my favourite space. I think it's amazing. It's really wonderful work. All of these kind of strange tilting balances, right? They seem to tumble and want to move. We know that architecture should be static. It should stand still. Zahentu is this solid box. Here is an architecture that desires to twist, to turn, to move. So almost a completely white view when you stand here. So everybody needs to just get a view. I'll talk, and then I would encourage you to come back. I feel fortunate that working with Yarik, putting this show together, we spent quite a lot of time in his workspace. And from the beginning, I was very fascinated with the way that he works. Because there's a kind of system of work which could be generated mathematically, could be generated on a computer. Actually, the way that Yarik typically works is to develop small light pieces of wood that in English we call balsas. Kind of light modeling wood. And paper.
makes these objects, which are, I think, are kind of imaginative projections. Now, clearly, his studio, his workspace, is not at all void. But this is actually a little bit like what it feels to see all of those works together. So these are kind of working models. So that object, Habitat, which is enormous, starts its life as a series of pieces of balsam wood and paper, which, with imaginative projection, becomes spatialized. So you, when you come back, have a look and see, I'm joking, but you can see inside Gallic's brain, if you wish. Now, what's very exciting for me is, on this side we have a series of drawings that clearly relate to what we've been discussing. We have a set of drawings here which operate cosmic dimension. And then on this side we have a set of drawings which are often to do with the relationships of figures and bodies. These drawings are hardly ever shown. So it's wonderful to be able to have these works here at the Center. Because I think they do something very different to a work like Habitat. As I said a few moments ago, microcosmos and macrocosmos imply a capacity for the human body to be a universe and for a universe to be in a human body. So when you look at these drawings, take these ones here, ask yourself the question, what is the scale of these drawings? Are we looking at something so infinitely small? Or are we looking at something so infinitely large? And of course, what's difficult to know is precisely what that scale is. And that is the point. In the middle, we have a series of very early works. Sophie will know, but I think these are the earliest works in the show. And these are casts of the human body. Cast of the entrance to the ear canal, cast in lead, and then painted with these little gold dots. Interestingly, in the company of these objects, what happens if you think about the entrance to the body? What about if we think about the star constellation? We imagine that our bodies are somehow constellations as well. So there's a kind of inference here of a game of scale and connection. Just a word or two about these drawings here. I think these proportional systems based on the openings of the body have a capacity to individualize. If my body is a universe, I am everything. I am a complete world. But I don't want you to think that this is the only dimension that operates here. A lot of Jadek's work is about the interconnections of people as well. The fact that we all share bodies, differently organized, differently arranged, is what we have in common. And that actually our apertures, through the way that we look, through the way that we speak, the way that we make love, is actually what connects us as well. So that these openings of the body are not simply zones of private experience, they're the zones of social connection as well. And I think it's important when you look at these drawings, you will start to see bodies being interconnected through communication, maybe through sexuality. And I think it's important to bear that in mind. So we're going to go now into the final spaces here. This idea of the interconnection through sight, through sex, whatever, is an ethical question, I think. It's a question about how do we relate to each other? How do we interact? And this question, I think, is raised by this work here, which is a very recent work made in the last year or so, that I think is very touching. It's very moving work. It shows a man who was living in the forests outside Warsaw, a man that Jarek met, formed some kind of relationship with. So this man is homeless. And of course, many of the works here deal with dwellings or deal with habitats. So the condition of being homeless is very connected to that large work that we saw, Habitat, which looks like a home, which is being turned through space where the floor and the ceiling are disturbed, right? So the question of what home is and where it is being played out in this work. The same system is generating a kind of structure. And interestingly, the face is producing a kind of architecture. So that we see that the sidelines of the eye, right, moving like this, form a kind of horizontal plane across here. And then the edge of the nose and the mouth forms a kind of vertical, which enables for a set of something like structure or walls to be produced. So it's a kind of building. It's building then that Jarek made using this material, these twigs, these very ordinary structures. So there's a relationship to these two things. But I showed you right at the beginning that euphoric walkway through Warsaw, right? Which is about communication, it's about nature. The mood of that work is optimistic. I'm not sure what the mood of this work is. It seems to have a different kind of dimension. Maybe it's this man's face, right? It's very compelling to look at that man's face. You want to stare at him. You're trying to do this empathetic work of understanding him, right? We understand each other through our faces. We understand each other through our eyes. These are these lines of connection. But when he looks, he doesn't look back at us. He feels somehow kind of uncomfortable. So that homelessness is also about a breakdown in communication in some sense as well. And we know that there is a kind of sense in which we have to respect each other through our faces. So maybe this is also a kind of call for that kind of respect. So that's really what I mean about the mood change here. And if you start to look at the titles of these last works that we're in, this is where you will see that shift occurring. So that's my little summary of Jarek's show. I probably led you a little bit, steered you. But I wonder if you have any comments or questions or observations that you would like to make. Very happy. Do you think I'm right that this work does take on a dark mood as we come in?
Yes, you are. I think that Jarek is a very kind person, you know, and it's this kindness we can see in his heart. So.
Yeah, and you sense that empathy, that kindness, yes. Right, through the work? I agree, yeah. We would call a lot of this work abstract, but I don't think it is
abstract. Yes.
It's about humans, bodies, empathy. I agree with you. Any points or questions?
You said that they are not designed mathematically.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that there is something similar with the fractal idea in this structure that are repeating this way.
I think you are absolutely right. That it has something like a tiling or a fractal system that puts things in relations, but its origins, in a way, are coming directly from the body rather than from a mathematical system. And I think that we even feel that somehow, that it still has a kind of organic quality, even though it's geometry as well. So I agree with you. I won't oblige you. But I would encourage you to go back now and have a look through the work, maybe to see if it feels a little bit different because of this interpretation. Thank you very much for coming.